everyone. This is Marlon Sanders, and welcome to the A-Team call. This is a makeup call, so welcome. I'm going to start out, give you a little bit of a background, give you a little bit of an action plan, tell you some things about this business, and then we're going to take questions. First of all, let me give you a general overall outline of what the A-Team is and how it's going to work. I'm going to do two calls a month. These are going to be advanced calls where we go into advanced information. You will have the opportunity on some calls to either ask me questions verbally or to email me questions. We may not do this every call, but we will at least do it some calls so you have some interaction, you have an opportunity to get your questions asked. These calls will generally last about an hour, but it does depend on the call. Some calls may be shorter. If I don't have a lot to say that day and we don't have a lot of questions, some calls may be longer. Just depends on the nature of the call for that time. But we will be doing these twice a month. Now, the price is currently low. So if you got in now, you're in now at this price, you're doing really good because these calls are way under price. I should be charging $250 a month for them, and I'm not. Now, this is an introductory call. So I'm going to give you some background and some information that I won't be covering on every call. And some of you who've been around a while have heard this, but we do have new people who will be on this call today. So I will be giving you a little bit of background just to orient those of you who aren't familiar maybe with my story. So I was a copywriter by trade. Actually, I was interested in sales and marketing from a very early age, and I was a copywriter. And or became a copywriter. It actually took me a long time because today, you know, you have so much information available, which is just awesome. It can be overwhelming, but it's really just awesome. Back in the day when I was learning to do all this, you know, I had a few books to learn from, and that was it. I mean, literally, you just had very, 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 very little information. So it took me probably 20 years to learn to do today what you could learn to do in a year. So it was a very long road to become a copywriter. Finally, I became a copywriter for Phil Kratzer at National Response Corporation. Phil was a speaker at many of the internet marketing seminars at the time. He was good friends with Gary Halbert and a lot of other people who were important in this business. And Phil was involved in internet. And now, I was involved in internet marketing before working with National Response. I was marketing on AOL and CompuServe. I met a gentleman named Jonathan Mizell at the time. Would become friends. And, you know, the big trick back in the AOL days was you would post these classified ads. And if you knew the right time to post your ad, you could get your little classified ad to top all the other ads. That was the big secret back then. And the other thing we had found out that is if you would have people email you for a free report. And there were no autoresponders back then. So at email, you would hand email them back, right? And if you put their name in that return email, we found out you had like double response. So that was the big secret back then. Well, I was a copywriter, met Jonathan Mizell, and we became friends. And through a long series of events I won't go into, I left National Response, and we started doing these seminars around the world on internet marketing. We did 120 in a year and a half. Myself, Declan Dunn, we had a great time doing that. Met a lot of people. We did, I want to say, the only first seminars on internet marketing, because I think Ken McCarthy was doing some. But really, our Boulder seminar was just a huge internet marketing seminar at the time. I mean, it wasn't huge in terms of numbers, but it was a very small market back then, right? So anyway, I've been in this business since, I think I first got into this, doing this, you know, 1994 was when we were on AOL and CompuServe, and then 1996, I believe the World Wide Web came along right around in then, and I was selling products before Amazing Form, but my first big hit that I became famous for is called Amazing Form Sells Products Like Crazy. A lot of you know that. A lot of you have the product. You know, puts the big perspective on internet marketing. So my only point in this, I've been doing this, quote, guru gig a real long time. Been in this business. I know everyone in the business. You know, I'm liked by most everyone in the business. Not everyone, but a lot of people at least, right? And so I want to talk to you today about how I got 199,540 subscribers to my opt-in list, how I actually did that, and, you know, I sold my first million online, sold my second million online, sold my third million online, and it didn't stop there, right? So I just want to talk to you about how you do this business and how you make money, and then if you have questions, we're going to take some questions a little bit later. So let's just talk about how do you get the opt-ins? How did I get so many opt-ins to my email list? Of course, let me be honest. In the old days, it was easier than it is today. And not all those 199,540 are deliverable. A lot of those email addresses go bad. People unsubscribe and so forth. But here's how you build up your list. You have two basic options. You know, you got to have a page with an opt-in on it, meaning that people get their name and email address. You got to have that. And you got to get traffic to the website. You have a couple choices in getting traffic. One way you get traffic is you buy the traffic. You know, you buy it, whether you buy it from Google, you're buying banner ads, you're paying for the traffic. And the other way is the affiliate program. You're still paying for the traffic, but you're paying after the affiliate send you the traffic and generate a lead or make a sell, and then you pay. This is called an affiliate program. Amazon made it famous. And so that's what I did to drive all of my traffic over the years. Had a whole lot of affiliates. Now, this game has changed within the internet marketing circles. Outside of internet marketing, not so much in niches. But in internet marketing, it's a lot harder to get affiliate traffic than it used to. So I'm expanding into buying media now, AdWords, and doing a lot of things, actually. The reason I'm doing that is because in the old days, the affiliate liked your product, they'd promote it for 6 months, a year, 2 or 3, 4 years. You know, nowadays, it's like they'll promote it 1 week. Now, I mean, it's a different world. And Darwin, you said that in survival of the fittest, it wasn't the smartest or the fastest or the strongest that survived. It was simply those that adapted to change. So if you're in business, you better adapt to change, right? This is what you're going to learn. So anyway, what I did in my model was I had affiliates to drive traffic to my web pages, to sell products, to earn commissions. I always paid out higher than most people did on commissions. You know, originally Amazing Formula paid out 60%, and everybody else paid out 50%. Now, that was innovative at the time. Then one of my dashboard came along, my dashboard line came along and paid 70. That was more than most people paid. Now it's fairly common. But I drove the traffic to affiliate programs, and I would drive them to a sales letter page, and I had an opt-in on the page on the sidebar where people could opt into my email list and then also a pop-up. Now, the reason that I did that instead of just driving them to straight what we call a lead capture page or a squeeze page where you only ask for the name and email and then present your sales letter, the reason I did that is affiliates don't always like that. And frankly, affiliates want the fast money. They want the immediate sell, or that was my experience. So I always let the affiliates get the immediate sell, but then had two ways for people to opt in, the sidebar and then the pop-up, and that's how I built my list. And I mean, there were months where we got 100,000 visitors. You know, 50, 75, 100,000 was just normal for a long time. Again, the world's changed. You know, you don't necessarily do now. Now, in niches, you can still just kill it with affiliate programs because not everybody there is doing product launch formula type stuff. But in this little tight niche we call internet marketing, that's the deal. So that's how I drove my opt-ins, but you still had to offer something free to get them to opt in. Not so much in the early days, you could just say opt in and people would opt in. Later on, you had to do a free report or a free newsletter or something a little bit more enticing. So over the years, we created different enticing things. Now, I ran this business for probably 7 years from home without any office. And I guess a year, year and a half ago, whatever it was, I got an office. And the reason is because for a long time I just used virtual people. And using virtual people is great, keeps your overhead low. It also has some frustrations. Like Lisa worked with me for many years. It was just wonderful, beautiful, wonderful graphic designer. She just did awesome work. But, you know, there was also frustrations because let's say, you know, if you have a virtual employee, and they're late to work or whatever happens, you just don't know. And so it does create some tensions also. And I really just reached the point where I wanted to have some in-person people in a little office. So that's what I have now. I probably have a bigger office, frankly, than I need. But I have a little office and a few employees. Now, for a long time, you know, the beauty of hiring someone in Canada was in the early days, the exchange rate was 50% in our favor. So for every dollar I sent, it was like getting $1.50. It was great. And you can still do that in other countries, but not with Canada. The nice thing about Canada is they were on the U.S. time zone, for those of you in the U.S., and they had great internet access in Canada. But nowadays, the problem with the only problem I have with using designers in say some other countries is they're on a different time zone and it's hard to talk to them and get a hold of them by phone. And I like to discuss things over the phone. So anyway, this is the way I ran the business from home for many years. Was I just used people virtual, you know, and virtual customer service and graphic designer, and I would call up Lisa and we'd talk about designs, we'd talk about promotions, and that's how I ran the business. Now I have a few part-time, I have a part-time designer, part-time PHP, and Tim does full-time customer service. Now I usually have, and I had Santos for a year, I guess a year, and I had Matt was with me for a year or two, a couple years, I guess, who really was kind of like a jack of all trades. And I don't really have a person like that now. And frankly, I miss them. And, you know, but I'm slow to hire that kind of a person. It's a tough position and it's demanding and takes a lot of work, frankly. When you start out in this business, you do most everything yourself. As you grow in the business, you need to get help. And my feeling is, the way I personally feel is when you're growing, start with a few virtual people, and then when you kind of outgrow that, go ahead and get the office. I wouldn't saddle myself personally with the overhead of an office unless I got a real small office. You know, I'd probably start with some virtual people, and then when I felt I'd outgrown them, I would go to an office. It's kind of my feeling on that. Now, the thing is that there's so many people that are specializing in this. I mean, when I started, you know, finding a virtual graphic designer wasn't that easy. Now, there's like a site, 99designs.com, and you can get great design done there. And, of course, there's Elance, and there's web designers like Design Guru Ryan and a lot of other people who are real talented designers. There's GraphicsGenie.com. There's, eCover Ninja, Carl Warren, who's on the Warriors Forum. There's a lot of really talented designers, and there's virtual people that do customer service now. It's just commonplace. So it's not that hard to run the whole thing from home. You know, the hard thing of, so you've got a couple elements in this business that I think are important. And one of those elements is your graphics. And I think it's important to have good graphics. So some people would disagree with me and feel that homely graphics will sell better, and it's always something you can split test. I've always felt that good graphics help differentiate you and help you stand out from the noise. And then your choice is, do you use someone virtually or do you use someone that you hire? And it's easy to hire off of Craigslist, by the way. It's pretty easy to hire people off of Craigslist. The thing about a virtual designer is, unless you can talk to them on the phone and really work with them over a period of time, it's frustrating because they won't know exactly what you want. And doing it by Skype is hard. You know, this is just my feeling. So, some of my friends they don't care that much about design, so they throw it out there and to a couple designers, and they pick the best design, and they just run with it. I like having a consistent design personally. So I like working with somebody over an extended period of time, and if you can't talk to them on the phone, it's hard. The other thing is you got to have somebody that kind of thinks like you and is willing to be on the same page. Some designers are offended if you show them designs that you like or that sort of thing. So, you know, that's the element. But I think you got to have design. Another element you got to have is copy. Copy's far more important than design, no doubt about it. And I write my copy myself, although Lisa had really got to the point where she could write a lot of the copy. Not as good as I can, though. And if you can't write copy, I will tell you that I know people in this business that, like, I have a friend, Dagan Smith, and Dagan, the interview for him is in my promo dashboard product. And Dagan, like, from day one, pretty much outsourced his copy. I mean, he can write pretty good copy himself and write the basics, but then he'll give that to a copywriter, usually or typically, and then let the copywriter polish it up and kind of take it to the next level. You know, I think his first sales letter only cost him $200 or something. So you can do that. No doubt about it. The other option, so you either learn to do it yourself or you hire it out. Now, when you hire it out and you're starting out, you can't afford a lot of money. So you can go to a place like Warrior Forum, Warrior Forum, warriorforum.com, and there will be beginning copywriters there who will literally do sales letters for $200. Now, you're not going to get a $5,000 sales letter, a $7,500 sales letter for $200, but you are going to get someone who's enthusiastic, who may or probably knows more about copy than you do, and you know they can probably do at least a better job than you can do. And then as you grow in the business and become more successful, you buy the $500 or the $1,000 letter, and hopefully somewhere along the way you learn to write copy yourself. Because it is, I mean, this business is about copy. It's a copy-driven business, you know, because you think it's a, you know, the product, what the product does is it prevents refunds. But the sales letter is what sells it. The product doesn't sell the product because people don't know what the product is. They only know what you say about the product, and that's what's in the sales letter. So what the product does is prevent refunds, and the product gets you repeat purchases. I mean, you know, you can only sell a dead duck once. You can't sell a dead duck twice. So if you sell people a dead duck product, you know, I bought a product the other day that was a dead duck. You know, they'd had like a really hot shot copywriter write their sales letter. It was just an awesome sales letter, just, you know, incredible, amazing sales letter. But the product, you know, was outsourced to some other country. I mean, it was a horrible product. It was just terrible. So you don't want to do that because then you won't have repeat purchases or repeat business. You know, you got to have a quality product. Now, some of you are facing this whole PLR, reprint rights, affiliate versus own your own product decision. It's not an easy decision. I always believed in creating and selling your own products. I may be the biggest advocate of that point of view. But there are people out there who succeed with reprint rights, affiliate marketing, private label rights, and you can do it all. I mean, basically, if you get people on your list, you send interesting, engaging emails, build up relationships. You can sell affiliate products. You can sell private labels. You know, you can sell whatever you want is the thing. So there is no right or wrong answer on the point of what do you sell. There is no right or wrong answer. The important thing is you get people on your list. You develop relationships by sending emails that create and build relationships. Get them on teleconference calls. You can even do the live streaming video like we teach in Promo Dashboard. You know, you can do the other things. But so there is no right or wrong answer. I believe in creating your own products, but if you just can't seem to bring yourself to do it, buy reprint rights, sell affiliate products. The good thing about affiliate products, they've probably done more testing on the sales letter. If you buy PLR, private label rights products, they come with sales letters, but you don't get the level of a sales letter that a real hot selling affiliate product is going to have. So it's a half dozen one way or the other, right? I mean, I do have friends that have done well with private label rights products and made a lot of money with them. I mean, one of my friends, Kirk Christensen, would take the private label rights sales letter, but then use split test accelerator software to split test it. Let's talk a little bit about split testing. Because, again, the business is a copy-driven business. Well, then how do you get copy that sells? How do you get copy that converts? How do you learn to write sales letters? Well, what you do is called split testing. In other words, one visitor is going to see one version of the sales letter, another visitor is going to see another version. And there's software out there that lets you do this. And so, you know, you don't know how to write headlines. Well, you write 10 headlines, split 10 versions of the sales letter, test all 10 headlines, and you find the winner, and you begin learning what will sell. You begin learning how to write headlines to get people to buy. The other way you learn to write is how I learned to write, since I didn't really have many books to learn from. I just studied existing sales letters. One of the best ways to learn to write sales letters is to study sales letters that are already selling. Study them. What are the headlines like? How do they open the sales letter? How do they prove their case? How do they keep you involved in the sales letter? How do they get you to take action today, right? How do they do all of those things? The only way I learned to write was by studying existing sales letters and so forth. A big breakthrough for me was when I bought J. Abraham's Protégé course. This is way back because there was really no decent information about marketing at the time, in my opinion. And when J. Abraham's Protégé course came out, now the things he talked about in that course today are kind of like, I mean, you can get them in free ebooks on the internet a lot. You know, in the day, they were revolutionary. You know, USP, unique selling proposition, what differentiates your product from the customer. Back then, ain't nobody talking about it. And Jay came out and started talking about these things are marginal net worth of the customer. In other words, lifetime value of the customer. How much is a customer worth? Wow, man, I never heard of that before, you know. Nobody talked about that stuff. So that course had a big impact on me, and I paid $5,000 for it. It had a huge impact on me, but largely or partially just because at the time there was no other information available. So that information was just huge at the time. Just I can't even tell you how huge that info was. Most of the progress I've been made in my life has been because I got specialized information. I mean, there's really two approaches to business. You can get succeed and make progress by buying specialized information, or you can just go out in the school of hard knocks, do a whole lot of things, track the results, do the ones that work, and don't do the ones that don't work. Or you can do some combination thereof. I try to do both. I try to keep my experimentation and action level high, and then I also try to buy other people's knowledge and know-how and experiences so that I don't have to repeat their mistakes to learn. I try to do both. And I do this very, very aggressively. It's hard, though, because if you have a job, you ain't got time to do all of this. So you got to simplify and focus, 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 focus. You know, and even me, I have time problems staying focused enough. Because, man, you just don't have enough hours in the day. You know, you just don't have enough hours in the day. It helps if you hire talented virtual employees or talented people. It helps a lot. But I also want to bring this up. I mean, there's a theory out there that you should just launch into this whole full-blown business and get an office and get all these staff, and you don't have a real business till you have a staff and an office and employees, and I just don't buy it. You know, I know a lot of people that got the office and employees, and they moved back home. You know, I mean, you can do real well and make net out 100 G's on the Internet, which is what most people want to make. You can net that out at home without an office and use a few virtual employees, one or two, and you can net 100 G's. I mean, normally you got one employee for every 100 G's you do. Every $100,000 you got an employee. So, but you normally work on a 30 to 50% profit margin. So if you want to make 100 G's, you got to gross 200 to 250 and net out 100. So you probably got to have one or two employees to net out 100 G's. If you work at home, keep your overhead low and try to net out 40 or 50%, you know, and keep your overhead low by working at home, then you only got to make 200 or 300 G's in sales, and you maybe got a virtual employee, one or two, and that's how you make 100 G's. A lot of people make 100 G's. It sounds like a lot of money. You will remember, actually, it used to sound like a lot of money. I don't know if it sounds like a lot of money anymore or not. If you want to make a million, yeah, you need an office and employees. Think about it. If you want to make $1 million, at that level, you probably got to do 3 to 5 million to net out one. So if you're doing, if you want to do $3 million, you got an employee for every 100,000, so you got about 30 employees, and 30 employees, you got an office, and see, that's the thing, is you're probably only netting out 20% then, so that means to net out a million, you got to do five, and you got 50 employees, and quite a few headaches with employees. People like, don't show up to work, it's all the things that go with employees. You know, employees are great, because they spend their time, so you don't got to spend your time, but if you got a lot of them, it's a lot of headaches too. Let's talk just a little bit more about the opt-ins and the conversions. How do you get people to opt-in? Well, you got to make sure you're targeting the right people. That's all row one of promo dashboard. If you were on my quick start calls, you know this and you've heard it. Finding the blogs they go to, forums they read, places they hang out, and you look to buy banner ads there. You look to buy text ads. You find out who's promoting products to them, and you go to those people and ask them to be your affiliate. You make friends with them first. If you just approach them cold, you're probably going to get a cold shoulder. It's built on relationships. Even though it's the Internet, folks, it's still a personal business. It's who you make friends with. You know, I made friends with Jonathan Mizell, and that's why we made each other a lot of money over the years. But it all started out with just me meeting somebody online, and we made friends, good old-fashioned friends. Your friends promote you. you know, people wonder, well, why do these gurus all promote each other, and how do I get them to promote me? Well, you don't get them to promote you. You don't. And the reason they promote each other is because they're all friends. That's why. And if you're smart, you get a group of friends together, and you all make each other famous, and you all make each other a lot of money. Now, conversions, how do you convert? Well, a lot of bonuses and deadlines is a good start, and it's all about the copy. And if you can't write copy yourself, you got to hire a copywriter. So you either learn to do it yourself, or you hire someone to do it for you. Jeez. I know that sounds simple. You know, it's not that hard of a business. You get traffic, you got copy, and you convert these people. And you also follow up and do teleseminars, webinars, that kind of thing to convert. But that's really the business. You get people on your list and send emails and you convert them. So this is what we're going to work on in the A-Team and try to help you all do this. Let me do an count and see if we have enough people on our call now. We didn't send out a voice broadcast this morning, and I guess that was a mistake because a lot of people, I noticed at least at the beginning, didn't get on the call. So I had Tim send out a voice broadcast, which we should have done, I guess, because we sent out one yesterday, so I didn't really feel we needed to do one this morning. Let's see here. Let me check the participant count. 1 second. All right. So we added quite a few people. So let me go ahead and see if I can figure out how this is a different this is an instant teleseminar. This is a different teleseminar service, which I've only used a couple times. So let me take this off of mute. Now, if you have background noise and need to mute yourself, you have crying kids in the background, you're talking to people in the background, you have a phone that with hold music that puts us on hold, you have trucks driving by your phone because you're doing the call outside, you press *6 to mute yourself, and I believe *6 to unmute yourself. So if you got huge background noise or you're talking in the background and that kind of thing, *6 will mute you out and *6 will unmute you. So I'm going to unmute this call, and I want to see your feedback, ask questions. Now, let me just say, the call is recorded. I will be publishing this recording. So if you talk during the call, you give me permission to use likeness, sound, you know, your voice in perpetuity worldwide without recompense or royalty. But if you all don't talk, the rest of this call will be pretty boring. So let me go ahead and bring it off mute and see who has questions on what I just talked about, promo dashboard, the A-Team, or making money online.
Mary Dresser in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, everyone, I am off mute. So if you're on this call and you can hear me all right, on the count of three, say yes. One,
yes.
Two, three.
Yes.
All right, great. Well, welcome, everyone, and hopefully that intro was of some value or benefit to you. Who has a question you would like to ask me today?
Harlan, this is Sherry Dresser in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I have a question for you about copywriting. You said
it's
a copy-driven business.
It sure as heck is.
So my question is, for someone like me who's starting to learn how to write copy, what is there a copywriting course you would recommend to get up to speed?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Sherry. I would recommend my own because I make money on them, but let me tell you that I don't just use that to train employees because my own products, as great as I think they are, and I have an ebook. It's only $100 at salescopy.com, salescopy.com. I recommend it highly, but it's not enough. Because I've trained my employees to write copy, and what I found out is my products are not enough. And, you know, there's one person that I send. I think there's some great copywriting courses out there, but let me tell you the one person that just somehow gets the message across, and that person is John Carlton. So you just search John Carlton sales letters or John Carlton, and you will not have any. I think it's just johncarlton.com. You know, John was friends with Gary Halbert. John's one of the finest copywriters in the entire world, and his newsletters are just unbelievable. And if you read his newsletter, he can get across a point like nobody else, frankly, that I know. Now, there are other awesome, unbelievable teachers of copywriting, some of whom are not cheap. I mean, you'll pay $5,000 or $10,000 to them. But you got to understand, it's a multi-million dollar talent. But I'll give you the range of courses. Gary Bensavenia is maybe the best copywriter in the world, or he's certainly one of the greats up there with John Carlton. Gary does seminars. I doubt they're cheap, but he's one of the best literally in the world. There is John Carlson, who does seminars but also has info products and is just a fabulous, wonderful, unbelievable copywriter. Again, he's one of the best in the world. His newsletter, if you can get the back issues, it's what I use to when I try to train my staff to write copy. Some people can get it, frankly, and some people can't. It's just a skill. Then there's Clayton Makepeace, is another very, very, very famous writer who has courses and seminars, but again, he ain't cheap. Now, there's another source that I personally like. I mean, it's just not everything you need to know, but it's an inexpensive course that for the price, like I learned a lot reading it. I think it's a great course. Michael Masterson, Masterson, awaionline.com, awaionline.com. Michael Masterson has his six-figure copywriting course, and it's just a wonderful, beautiful course. And if you can get Michael speaking about copywriting on DVD, he's only spoke a couple times about it. There's only a couple DVDs available, but hearing him speak about copy is just beautiful. By the way, if you have background noise or anything, you can press star 6 to mute it out. So Michael Masterson is just a wonderful teacher of copywriting, and he's more inexpensive compared to some of these others. I think John Carlton has some stuff that's relatively inexpensive, or he did. But these are, and now let me tell you, if you're on a budget and you ain't got any money, go hunt down the Gary Halbert letters, H-A-L-B-E-R-T, Gary Halbert. His newsletters are still probably around all online. Gary passed away last year, but he was one of the finest copywriters, albeit one of the most controversial copywriters in the world. But his newsletters are legendary, and amongst talking about everything under the sun and being a little bit sexist and a little bit everything, half whacked out at times, Gary was an amazing copywriter, one of the best probably who ever lived. And his words of wisdom about copywriting are just fabulous, and his newsletters are probably still available online. I don't know if thegaryhalbertletter.com is still up or not. The website may be down. If you go to archive.org, archive.org, and type in thegaryhalbertletter.com, you may be able to find the site in the archives at thearchive.org. You know, be aware, Gary... Gary had spent several years in jail for mail fraud, which is a very long story in and of itself. Gary was a mixed bag, and you know, I wouldn't recommend his newsletters at all to anyone who's easily offended, because I'll guarantee you he'll offend you. But as far as teaching copy, he's as good as anyone in the world at doing it. So those are your options. John Carlton, who was a friend of Gary Halbert and is just unbelievable in his ability to teach copywriting and get the points across. On the high end, you have Clayton Makepeace, and you have Gary Bensavenia, who has BensavenniaBullets.com. Don't ask me how to spell Bensavenia. It's B-E-N-C, something like I-V-G-N-A. It's a weird spelling. But you can find him online if you really want to. The Michael Masterson course is relatively inexpensive, John Carlton. Yannick Silver has what I thought was a great video course about copywriting. It's about $2,000-$3,000. And I used it to train Matt to write copy. But, you know, I'll be honest, Yannick's course is kind of dry, and it's harder for some people to learn from. He's certainly not the caliber of copywriter, let's be honest, that John Carlton is, or Gary Bensavenia or Gary Halbert. You know, I mean, these are world famous, some of the best copywriters who've ever walked the face of the earth. Yannick's a great copywriter, but he doesn't stand in the all-time great copywriters, and his presentation's kind of dry and boring. Having said that, it's a very, very, very thorough and systematic approach to copywriting. And if I was training someone on staff, I would train them, you know, with my ebook, a little bit of John Carlton, and try to get them to go through the Yannick Silver course if they could make it through. Like, I tried to train Santos with it, and he just found it was too dry for him. But he loved John Carlton because John, like, you know, is the most unbelievable storyteller in the world and will just suck you in from word one. Is that useful or helpful to you?
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much.
And all right, who else has a question? Go ahead,
hey, Marlon.
Your letter was salescopy.com, is that right?
Yeah, salescopy.com, or salesletters.com, I think redirects over there.
Okay, thank you.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Marlon, this is Andrew Collier in New York.
I have
all three of your dashboards,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know if I'm going to focus on one, which one should I start? I mean, the graphics one, you know, that's a kind of a different animal, but between the info product dashboard and the promo dashboard, should I try to do both of them at the same time, or?
All right, well, I'll answer that question for you. Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Oh, well, you need both, actually, don't you? I don't know which came
first. Here's the thing, is if you want to promote other people's products, affiliate products or PLR or reprint rights, you can start with promo dashboard. It's about promoting. But if you first want to have your own product, then you start with product dashboard, create your product, and then go to the promo dashboard to sell it.
Okay, that's
great. But if you want to skip having your own product and you just want to get started and sell reprint rights or private label rights or affiliate stuff, then just go on to promo dashboard.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
Cool.
So I'll do the product dashboard first because we have products that we want to create, and then I'll do that one and then go to the promo dashboard.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Cool. Who else has a question?
Hello, Marlon. Hi, this is Roger Heska, the 41-year-old teenager. How are you?
Hey, Roger. I'm rocking. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to add a comment that your the Gary Halbert letter website, that's still up.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Yeah, the GaryHalbertLetter.com. Yeah, I think his son or something, Bond, is...
is Bond doing it?
Keeping it going.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Just a question on copy. I was reading, something, an interesting thing that Alan Says wrote.
Yeah.
And, he was talking about, how a lot of products, perfumes. Or colognes, how do you sell that on TV? They're always trying to sell, sell it with sex, or something like that, or beer. how do you sell beer? I mean, most beer doesn't taste really that good, and so they sell it, with sports or having good times with your buddy and stuff. And I'm just wondering if you've had any experience with taking, an approach to selling your product, which is not always necessarily directly about your product, but associating it with something, with sex or...
Okay, well, here's the thing is, we're in the direct response marketing business, and what I teach is direct response.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Budweiser and you've got $1 billion a year ad budget, go for it.
Okay.
But we're
well,
in
I'm
the
not,
direct...
But, I'm not Budweiser, so.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the direct response business. It's two different businesses. It's two different business models. One of them is image advertising. All you're trying to do is associate the cute frogs with your beer on the theory that if people think the frogs are cute, they're going to have a good feeling, and you're going to have a contiguous association between the frog. That good feeling is going to be associated with that beer in your nervous system, in your neuro system, and then you go out and you see the beer, and you get good feeling, and you think, oh, yeah, good feeling, grab the beer, right? It takes millions and millions of impressions and dollars to do that, and half the time it doesn't work anyway.
Well,
Coke had the killer, unbelievable commercial with Mean Joe Green, and he's in the tunnel at the football game, and he runs into the little boy, and he tosses the boy a can of Coke. And, God, you just got all these good feelings and goosebumps and everything, and it made sales of Coke go down. So it don't always work.
Oh, right.
We're
right.
In the direct response business. Now, you can sell perfume with sales letters.
Mm-hmm.
You can
I'm not saying, I'm not saying not to use a sales letter. Just the other day I started actually yesterday I got Joseph Sugarman's book, Advertising Secrets of the Written Word.
Yeah.
And I just,
great book, by the way. Joseph Sugarman is just an awesome guy. He lives in Maui, where Mizell lives.
Yeah, I want to go live there. So anyway, it was this one chapter. Oh, it was selling the concept, not the product.
Right.
And so maybe that's similar, you know, to what I mentioned before.
No.
Sort of like
selling concept is different. Here's what selling the concept is.
Okay.
The king of selling the concept is Michael Masterson.
Okay.
At Agora. Agora is the largest financial newsletter publisher in the world. And they have many, many, many companies, and they send out millions, if not billions, of direct mail pieces. And Michael Masterson explains this on his videos. If you're going to people who are not actively in the market for your product or service, you're trying to hook them and get them interested in the product. So you do that. Now, see, if you're already pitching somebody who knows they need your product, then you typically use a problem-solution formula or an opportunity-solution. But let's say they don't know they need it. Then
okay.
you go to concept.
Okay.
So, like, the best example of this is way back when a guy that Joseph Sugarman trained was named Dax, D-A-X, and he followed the Joseph Sugarman model because Joseph Sugarman did this seminar on how to do his model. And he had this guy come named Drew, whatever Drew's last name was. So Drew started a catalog business just like Joseph Sugarman had way back at the time. And he sold computers in the very early days of computers. And so he didn't sell Pentium didn't even exist then, but he didn't sell bits and bytes and hard drives and hardware and everything. He talked in very vivid language about the software and all these things you could do on the computer. So he's selling this concept of, you know, in just minutes a day, you can balance your checkbook, access cheap travel, save money on travel, and blah, blah, blah. And he went through in these really vivid full-page ads where he just told all of these amazing, incredible things that you could do with this thing called a computer. So he was selling a concept. Now, you only do that, it's called the big idea. I will give you an example. Agora sends out all these big idea letters in direct mail because they're people that don't, okay, like let's say they're selling a newsletter that teaches you how to invest in oil. You know, most people don't have a need for a newsletter on how to invest in oil. You know, so the problem solution ain't going to work because they don't, got any problems investing in oil because they don't even want to do it because they don't even know about it. So they do concept letters, and they'll send out a sales letter that works like this, you know, new discovery in Canada could yield 4.8 billion barrels of oil per month and net investors, blah, blah, blah. And they go in and they just tell this whole, and they're the masters at this. They do these sales letters that tell these whole intricate, in-depth stories that build the. And by the end of it, you're like, oh, my God, the oil sands in Canada are the most amazing thing. And it's hard to explain this in theory, but if you go to Daily Wealth, D-A-I-L-Y, wealth.com, and subscribe, investment and the letter U, investmentu.com and dailyreckoning.com, you will get tons of, use a separate email account for that because you'll get daily emails from all of them. But you'll get tons of links to some of the best sales letters from the highest paid copywriters in the world. And they're unbelievable sales letters. And like, they'll suck you in with every letter. I mean, every one of them is just something that you're just like, what? Like right now they had one like Nevada, it was called the California plan or something like that could pay you $5,000 overnight or overnight dividends. Yeah, California plan overnight dividends can pay you $5,000 overnight or something like this. And it's this whole story. It's crazy, but it's a very advanced technique. And as a beginner, you probably start with people that already know and have a desire for your product or service, so you want to use a problem solution. Because you're going to people that already know they want and need your product. Trying to prospect to people who don't even know what your product is or don't understand the need for it, it's a very advanced technique. It's how you reach blue ocean. It's how you reach new customers that had no idea they ever wanted to invest in oil to begin with. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess I'm sort of in a field where a lot of people, you know, don't even really know about it, you know, specifically what I do.
Right.
And
well,
there's a lot of people who would need it, but I think I need to sell, you know, like some.
Well, you do. You have to sell the big idea. If they don't know they need your product or service, or they don't have a desire for it, you got to try to go in with a big idea that captures their imagination.
Mm-hmm. The hook or.
Yeah, and if you get on those Agora mailing lists, you will get 40 million examples of how to do it, like a new example every day. Written by literally some of the highest paid copywriters in the world. Their copywriters are phenomenal. It's kind of interesting because I think the people that actually write the newsletters you subscribe to, I don't know what they get paid, but I'm guessing 30 or 40,000. The people that write the copy that get you to buy the newsletter, there's probably no limit to how much they get paid.
I didn't realize these Agora copywriters were getting that high of a pay, but
I doubt there's a limit because they're probably getting paid not only their salary but I'm not sure. I've seen some of their job ads. I know they're very highly paid, and I know that the guy who runs Oxford Publishing said that if a copywriter doesn't make $1 million a year with him, he doesn't feel he's worth his salt and he gets rid of him. If he can't earn at least $1 million writing copy for
mm-hmm.
Oxford Club,
mm-hmm.
which is like the biggest investment club, I think, in the U.S. or the world, then the guy ain't any good and he doesn't want him.
Right.
But the guy who's writing the copy for the Oxford Club newsletters, I don't know what he's making, but I know it's a fraction of what the copywriter is getting. Because the sales letter is what makes all the money, not the newsletter itself. Although the newsletter is good. I mean, I get it. I subscribe to a bunch of Agora newsletters. They're good newsletters, but...
By the way, I was given a resource once by Ben Settle. Do you know him?
What's his last name?
Settle.
I do not. I've heard of him, but I don't know him personally. But I've seen him online or things like that. Yeah.
Where the heck is that? Okay. Because you're talking about the Agora sales letters. There's a way with Google. You can look up. I'm going to tell you right now. 6,660 Agora kind of reports, you know, because they have this website, iSecureOnline.com.
Right.
And it's just a simple search. You search in Google. You start off the search with site, S-I-T-E, then a colon, and then you just put in the site, which is iSecureOnline.com.
iSecureOnline, right, .com.
And then you forward slash... And then after the forward slash, the first letter is a capital R. The whole word is reports.
Right.
But the first letter is a capital R, and then the rest are lowercase. And then it doesn't tell you what the sales letters are.
Right, but it has links to all of them.
But you can get to, like, you know, 6,000.
Well, actually, it's a great tip, but to be honest, all you got to do is subscribe because – if you subscribe to Agora, you will have no lack of sales letters, trust me. You will not have a scarcity of sales letters in your email box. It's not going to be a problem.
Okay,
if you subscribe to their newsletters, it's like I'm almost now going, God, why did I subscribe? I subscribed because I wanted the sales letters, but now it's like the box I'm throwing them in is like full, and I'm like, God, what do I do with all these sales letters I keep getting, you know?
And do they often send them full-blown in the email, or are they usually trying to get you to...
No, they link to... Well, no, they send you HTML emails, so the full entire sales letter is in the email.
Mm-hmm.
The whole sales letter is sent to you in the email, yeah.
Yeah, because I guess they have a whole series of companies.
Roger. Thank you for commenting. We got to move on and get some more questions here.
Sure.
But I appreciate you being on the call, and that's some great points. Who else has a question or a comment you would like to make today?
I am here, Marlon. Can you hear
me? Hi. Yes, I can.
Dan Kennedy has a course, copywriting course. fairly reasonable. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, the only thing about Dan is, so Dan's an awesome copywriter, no doubt about it. But you got to understand, in Dan's model, everything, in my personal opinion, this is only my personal opinion, Dan's whole purpose of all of his products is to drive you and pull you deeper into his funnel. So in my opinion, Dan teaches you some good things about copywriting, but he deliberately doesn't give you the whole picture, because the whole entire purpose of the whole Dan Kennedy system is to pull you into his consulting, his writing services, and his high-end coaching. It's just a funnel is all it is. So I've been through the course. I have both Dan Kennedy courses. There are some very good tips in there on copy, but they're not my first choice to give people, because what Dan does is gives you a whole lot of options. And the reason he gives you there's a whole bunch of ways you can do your headline, a whole bunch of ways you can do your guarantee, a whole bunch of ways you can write your letter. And the reason is because at the end you're more confused than ever, and now you really do need to hire him or a person he recommends to write your sales letter. It's a sales pitch, in other words. It's a very sophisticated sales pitch. That's only my opinion, and you may love – I mean, I have a lot of friends who made a lot of money by being in Dan's programs and so forth, so it's not that I don't recommend him. And it's not that he doesn't help people make a whole lot of money. I mean, Yonick's done enormously well. Allie Brown's done enormously well. I could go on and name all the Dan Kennedy students who have done really well. Just in terms of a copywriting course, it's not my first choice to recommend people. But thank you for the comment. Who else has a question or a comment today that you would like to make? Anyone?
Hey, Marlon. Donovan.
Yep.
McFarland.
Hi, Donovan.
Yeah. How about Ray Edwards? Have you heard of him? Because I've used some of his things, which seems pretty easy to follow.
Well, actually, I didn't know Ray had copywriting products, and Ray's actually somewhat of a friend of mine. And although we haven't actually spoken on the phone yet, just because we've tried to hook up, we've been so busy. Ray's very good friends with my friend Kurt Christensen. They're like best friends, and they live like down the street from each other or something. Ray's an awesome guy, awesome copywriter, and for a lot of the big internet marketing launches, Ray's the one writing the copy. So Ray's an awesome copywriter. I just didn't know that he had educational training products on copy. And I haven't seen them, so I honestly can't comment on them, only because I haven't seen them. I can tell you that Ray is highly respected in the business, and he writes copy for a lot of great people.
All right, thanks.
Sure. Who else has a question or a comment today?
Hello, this is Sean Michael Brown from Missouri.
Hey, Sean.
I had came in and you were talking about finding your friends, I guess, to do joint ventures together. My question is, what's the best places to find, like, mastermind groups to where you can connect with people so that you guys could come together and create products?
All right. Well, the point I was making earlier, probably when you came in, is this is still as far as those things go, it's really a person-to-person business. So and my point on that is you make friends as you go along, and it really is about making friends. And there are paid masterminds you can join, but you're going to pay a lot of money to join them typically, $7,500, $10,000. So my recommendation is you start your own mastermind, and there isn't a set place that you find. There's not the mastermind hookup group, you know. It's just you meet people and you find who you resonate with, and you're like, hey, let's start a mastermind. I'm doing a call Thursday night. Why don't you come and invite all these people that you've made friends with, and you just hook up in your own mastermind.
Yeah, see, the problem is the little guy wants to hook up with people like you and Amon Warren want to do things with you guys, and you guys want to do things with, you know, people that's already well
established. Yeah, I addressed this earlier, but let me address it again because it's a good point. You don't hook up with me or Armand. You see, we did exactly what I'm recommending. When we were young in the business, actually, I didn't hook up with Armand because Armand was a generation after me. Originally, when I got started in the business, way back on AOL days, I met a guy named Jonathan Mizell. He was writing interesting copy. I'm like, oh, my God, I love that sales letter. I mean, this was pre-World Wide Web. I'm like, who did you learn copywriting from? Well, there were only three books in the world that existed on copywriting. So obviously I had read the one he learned from, which was Tested Advertising Methods by John Caples. He's like, tested advertising methods. Like, oh, my God, I've read that book, too. I love that book so much. I still have the email. And he's like, really? Oh, yeah, dude, that's where I learned copy, and I really love your copy. You're really so good. And then we became friends after that. So then we hooked up with a guy named Declan Dunn. We all became friends, and we started doing our own seminars, which were the main internet marketing seminars pretty much at the time. And, you know, we hooked up with our own circle of people, and we did our best to make each other famous. That's the same thing I recommend you do. You don't try to start with – you ain't going to get Jeff Walker or Frank Kern or me or whoever to promote your deal. It's just not going to happen. What you do is you go into forums and you read blogs and you find people that you resonate with. They're not famous yet, but they're selling something and they're building a list. And you resonate with them, and you pull them in your mastermind. Now, let me explain something. I follow my own advice. I mean, I'm doing this right now, and let me explain. I'm going to be honest. A lot of my friends who we used to promote each other, you know, my friends are some of them are dead, and some of them are out of the business. Some of them just totally got out of the business and do other stuff, and some of them don't live anymore. So I'm rebuilding, and then some of them just won't promote me, like for reasons I can't explain. They're friends, but a lot of my friends will not promote my stuff. You think, oh, well, it's easy, Marlon, because blah, 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 and you have friends. Yeah, I've got a lot of friends, but they won't promote my stuff because once people reach a certain level, a lot of times they don't promote each other. They're just so busy promoting their own stuff. You know, a lot of my best affiliates from the past are now famous. I mean, the Nitro guys used to be my top affiliates. They're famous now. You and Chia used to be my top affiliate. He's famous now. Mike Mertz used to be my top affiliate, but he's a big-time JV broker now. I could go on and on. A lot of my top affiliates are now very famous people. So Yannick used to be my top affiliate. Jim Edwards used to be my top or one of my top affiliates. They've all gone on to be very famous in their own right. So what I'm doing now is finding a new group of people that I like and resonate with who have lists, and we're kind of at the same level in business. So I've met my friend Dagan Smith. I like Dagan. I met a new guy named Michael Jones, traffic whatever it is, but I like Michael. Michael's a good marketer, and I don't know, we're kind of, you know, he's still hungry is the thing. He's not. He hasn't attained such high guru status that he's no longer hungry. You know, he's still trying, wanting to make it more in this business. Dagan is already really made it, to be honest, but he's not made it in the internet marketing circles. He's made it in the MLM lead generation circle. He's a still hungry guy, working really hard and really bright. There's a guy named Lee McIntyre, who's a younger guy, been in the business 2 years. And I like Lee. I'm going to promote Lee's product. And Lee's got a list. It's not nearly as large as my list, but it's responsive. And, frankly, I just like him. So I'm rebuilding my network of people from scratch because, you know, Yannick ain't going to send an email out to promote my stuff. Jim Edwards ain't going to send an email out to promote my stuff. I can go on with my list of friends who won't promote my stuff, because they've gone on to become such big names, they just aren't hungry anymore. So I'm going and finding a new crop of folks, but who are at my level. In other words, like Dagan's already making $100,000 a month online. You know, Michael Jones already makes $100,000 a month online. So I'm finding people that are at my level but are still hungry. Now, Lee McIntyre didn't make that much, but he's just, he has a very good list and a very responsive list, and he's just an awesome, astute marketer and just really a great, he's just somebody I resonate with is the way I'm trying to explain it. And it's somebody I want to be friends with. My friend Terry Dean used to be in the business and promote me, but then Terry got out of the business. Now he's back in the business, but he's kind of bad. He doesn't really want to sell to my customers anymore. He's kind of in his own niche, his own market. So this is the best way I can describe it. You go out and you get people at your level, whatever that level is. I mean, if you're starting out and you ain't even got a list yet, fine. Find people who are just now building lists, you know, and you all team up together, and you all promote each other's products when you do create them, create products together. Mizell, Dunn, and I used to create products together. We, in the old days, you couldn't record teleseminars because teleseminar technology didn't exist, frankly. So we rented a studio for $30 an hour, and we would go into a studio for 2 or 3 days and create products for each other. You know, it wasn't real planned. Some of those tapes that we did way back in a recording studio still circulate on the internet, believe it or freaking not. Some of them are still sold. It's a little embarrassing, but it's true. So is that useful or helpful to you at all?
Oh, that's very useful. Thank you.
All right. Okay, who else has a question or a comment?
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah.
This is Matt.
Hey, Matt.
I have a question for you. I believe on one of your promo dashboard calls there, you mentioned that the internet marketing genre was highly competitive and maybe to find another niche. And personally, I know I need to learn to use these things, and I'm doing that through your system. But I really don't like a lot of tech things. It kind of frustrates me. I mean, I'm a man that's middle-aged. I don't like those things. But you say if by using your promo dashboard, you believe we can find some other niches that resonate, I guess, with what we would call our passions.
All right. Well, the promo dashboard pretty much starts out assuming you found your niche already. Product dashboard is where I teach you how to find a niche. So if you want instructions in finding your niche, that's really product dashboard. And if you bought the wrong one, contact Tim and tell him I authorized it, and he'll deactivate your promo dashboard and activate your product dashboard. But product dashboard is really where I go into more targeting your niche. But let me talk to you about finding your niche, first of all. Most people overlook, now not everybody, but most people overlook what their natural niche is. So, like, one time I was doing a consultation on the phone. As you know, I'm $1,000 for consultation, but a gentleman paid me for a consultation. So I'm doing the consultation with him, and he can't find his niche. And I'm like, all right, well, are you good at anything? Well, I hold the world's record in one-armed rock climbing. What? So he holds the world's record in one-armed rock climbing, but he can't think of a niche. I mean, there's his niche. Rock climbers. It's, you know, with the most perfect possible sales pitch you could have, right up there with John Carlton's very famous sales letter about the one-legged golfer who hits the ball 600 yards or whatever it was, right? The one-armed rock climber. So I'm talking to another lady. She's an electrician, and she just can't find her niche. Just cannot find her niche. I'm like, all right, well, you got any passions, interests, or hobby? Well, yeah, I love woodworking. I just do woodworking all the time. Well, what about that as a niche? Well, I never thought I could sell something there as a niche. Well, tons of people buy stuff on woodworking, you know. Now, you say, well, the problem is I don't really have experience in anything. So then you go for what you do have a passion or an interest in. Now, not everything you have a passion or interest for is a good niche. Not every one of them makes money, so you got to go and look to see who's selling something and who's making money. And so forth, or is anybody making money in that thing, in that area? And, you know, not everything, if you do underwater basket weaving and you love it, there may not be a way to make money in that niche. And then there's my friend Kurt Christensen also has an opposite argument. He's like, Marlon, what difference does it make if I have a passion or interest? He's like, it's all about money. Go find a niche where people are buying stuff, create the products, and sell it to them. It don't matter if you got a passion or not. I think Ryan Dice pretty much feels the same way. I have the Ryan Dice interview in the promo dashboard bonuses, and I highly recommend you listen to it. And the reason is this. Any of you having a problem on your niche, what Ryan does is he partners with people who are in a niche. So, like, Ryan sells a very successful Forex line of products on Forex trading. Ryan, I doubt, hardly knows anything about Forex trading, probably never made a Forex trade in his life. But he partnered with somebody who does. And that guy does the content, Ryan does the marketing, and they split the profits. Now, how much you split the profits just depends. Let's say you found somebody who's world-class at woodworking, but they don't make a whole lot of money. You know, you may be able to give them 10, 20, 30% of the gross or the profits, and they're going to be happier than Lark because it's money they didn't have, and they're doing what they love. if it's somebody in a market like Forex trading or whatever, and they're really kick just awesome at it, you maybe got to pay more, you know, 50-50 deal. But Ryan discusses all of this on the interview and the bonuses. So, you know, you either find an interest or a passion, that's plan A. Plan B, you just pick something that you want to sell in. Maybe you could have an interest in it. You don't do it, but you find it fascinating or interesting. That's a possibility. Third possibility is you hook up with somebody else that's already doing it and is an expert or whatever, has got good material, could do blog posts, could have a private membership site, could do a seminar or whatever, and you split the money with them and you do the marketing. Is that useful to you?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Who else has a question or a comment?
Hi, Marlon. This is Marge.
Hi, Marge. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. My question is in regards to the websites themselves.
Yeah.
I'm on a limited budget, and I'm also on limited time, and I've heard arguments both ways on setting up a website, like, for example, with a sales page and so forth, or doing the blog first. Some people even say that you can do everything from a blog. You don't need the other website. So I wanted your input on that, please.
All right. Well, what I would do is have a designer. I would pay $200 to a designer like Graphics Genie or eCover Ninja Carl Warren. I'd pay $200 and have them do a header, and then I'd have them create a second size of the same header for the blog or a variation of it for the blog. It ain't going to cost you more than probably $200 or $250. If you don't got the $200 or the $250, then for the blog, I would just use a template that you can get for free. There's a lot of WordPress templates that are free. I would just use one of those. And for your graphics, if you go to Warrior Forum, you can find people that will actually do the graphics for less than $200. Think it'd be as good as graphics. But there's people out there who will do graphic headers for you. If you go to bannersmall.com, B-A-N-N-E-R-S, mall, M-A-L-L.com, and scroll to the very bottom of the page, you will see that they'll create a very nice-looking graphical header for your website for, I think, $60 or $70. And it'll look pretty pro, actually. And then below that, you can go to Warriors Forum and probably find somebody who'll do it for $20 or $25, or you can post on Renacoder or 99designs.com and probably find somebody who can do it even cheaper than that. You know, you can find somebody over in a foreign country that's a third-world country who for $20 for them is half a month's salary, so they'll be happy to do a design for you for $20 or $30. Does that help? I don't know if that helped or not.
I was trying to mute and unmute to make sure there's no background noise. So I may have missed, but my question was, do I need both?
Yeah, I would do both. You don't got to have both to start. I mean, start out. But, yeah, you could start with either one. Again, I would just do both because the same money that creates the header for the website with just a very little bit of tweaking can create the header for the blog. So I don't see why not just have both.
Okay.
I mean, it's not – a blog doesn't cost you money other than the hosting. You know, and the header graphic, the same header that works for your website can work for the blog with just a little bit of tweaking and very little money.
Right. Well, I'm not techie at all, and so my concern is I would be lucky to be able to handle one site. So I'm worried that I'll spread myself too thin, and so I'm just, you know, I mean, if I could still promote like on my blog or whatever, I mean, I'm satisfied with one. So that's
All right. Well, I think for your name squeeze, for your squeeze, if you're going to drive traffic there, you need a separate web page for that.
Okay.
The blog, though, is no big deal. You can do, go to WordPress.com and just use the blog where you don't even have to set it up. It's all in Promo Dashboard, though the video on how to set the blog up is in Promo Dashboard. If you use HostGator,
uh-huh.
You know, it's like a one-click setup. You click one button, then it sets your blog up.
Okay.
I mean, it's not. What I recommend to you is this. if you get stuck on that kind of thing, go to warriorforum.com and post there that you need help and ask if somebody would help you, but you don't have much money.
Okay.
Okay, here's the option. So that's one, warriorforum.com. Option two is getafreelancer.com. Getafreelancer.com. You're going to get cheap quotes there. It's people from around the world, so you can get help there for 10 or 20 bucks, like install a blog. Probably get somebody to install the blog or create a header for it for 10, 20, 30 bucks.
Okay.
So I would use Warriors Forum, and you'll find people there enormously helpful. Somebody, if you make a few friends in there, somebody will do it for you for free, you know, if you go in and make a few friends. And then getafreelancer.com is what I'd recommend for you.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks.
Good luck. All right, everyone, these calls are going to be limited about an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I understand you probably haven't been able to ask all your questions today, but that is why we're doing these two a month. I'm going to try to limit the calls to about an hour, because an hour and a half, a lot of it just drags on too long for a lot of people, and the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. So we are going to do these calls twice a month. It is the A-Team. Currently, the pricing is $37 a month. That's about $225 too little per month, in my opinion. I should be charging $250 a month for this, and I might. I might change the price. So if you're in now, you're doing good. We have the dollar trial. For those of you who are new, the dollar trial works. You're on two calls, and then you're charged. So this is it, though, and I hope these calls are useful and helpful to you. And now, we do have our A-Team. It's the Ning site, the NING.com, and you should have received an invitation. If not, Tim's going to be mailing out more of them. And that's where we have a little discussion forum, a little bit of interaction in there. And there's not a lot going on in there, frankly, and I would like to see you pick it up in there. And I think I've got it enabled so y'all can interact with each other. If not, I will. We're also working on a separate A-Team website. It ain't done. Because, again, I got a part-time designer now, not a full-time designer. I should have a full-time designer. With a part-time designer, things are going a little bit slow, to be honest. But we're going to get a separate A-Team website for you guys and gals. So this is it. Thank you all for being on the call. I hope this is useful. It's going to happen again. Not next week, but the week after. We'll be doing this again. If you didn't get to ask a question today, you'll get to ask a question then. So for everyone on the call, thank you for being here. I hope it was useful and valuable to you. And assuming the audio came out, which I'm sure it did, we will be posting the audio so that you all can have access to it. Thanks, everyone, and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.